Heavenly Father, thank you so much for blessing us with your presence on this Sabbath day. Thank you for also blessing us with the latter rain, if we are so worthy. There's not a lot of time left, Father, and so many of us are digging deep into the Word. And so here we are, Lord, send us. Please let your rain fall upon us more abundantly than it did on Pentecost. Let us be ready to go forth and proclaim the truth with absolute courage, no fear whatsoever, and with words that cut hearts, bring thousands upon thousands into the truth, to empty the apostate churches so as to make our family, when we get home in heaven, that much larger. And thank you for forgiving us and cleansing us and blessing us with salvation and the joy that comes with it. And again, thank you for blessing everyone on our prayer list. We offer this prayer to you in the name of your mighty Son, our Lord, our Savior, our King for all eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay, Malachi. And this is going to be a series of sermons that the Lord has given me in answer to prayer. He does this all the time. I mean, every time, every sermon is. I mean, I don't rely on, you know, prefab sermons and stuff like that. You lose your ability to hear him when you do that. But it's rare that he does what he did now. He always gives the sermon to all of us, you know, and the studies that we have, we always get them from him. That's, you know, goes without saying. But every now and then he gives us something that's absolutely crucial to be proclaimed during a specific period of time. He gave this 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it's fitting that it starts, this series starts today with all that we see happening in the government and what's going on around the world with what they're planning to do. We don't have a lot of time left, brothers and sisters. We got to get serious. And so I hope and pray that those that have a love of the Lord and have a desire to know this truth, hear this truth, that which the Lord has uttered in his word thousands of years ago in the book of Malachi. Now, if you look at the notes underneath here, let me go to the notes here in the... I got to change this here. This isn't right. I got to put the... let's see. Put this... Turn this one off. Put that one on. Okay, that's an old one, but let me change that to the correct date. So today is what? 14th. All right, and then that should do it right there. So if I hit apply, there you go. So there's the notes. And on the top, for those of you in the stream anyway, for those of you in the chat room, yeah, just scroll down. It's right there. But if you want the notes, a hard copy to read along or to study later, on the top there, that link, it's not clickable for a reason. It's so that you can copy and paste it or write it down. But for those of you on the radio, it's remnantofgod.org/ CSP / today's date, 03-14-20.htm. Those are the notes. And the first section is the sermon text, which is Malachi chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. And I'm not going to read all that right now. I'm just going to read verses 1 to 3. And then we'll go from there as we go through. But this is what it says. The burden of the Lord, or rather, I'm sorry, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Oh, and by the way, the Jews changed this book in their Bibles. They just removed the last verse, though, because of the word curse was in it. And so we discussed that last night. If you had you were present last night, you know what I'm talking about. So anyway, verse 2 says, I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. As we know, and as Acts chapter 10, verse 34 says, Our God is no respecter of persons. Yet here we see Israel is angry with him for not loving Esau as he did Jacob. They deemed God loved Esau as well simply because of his lineage. Sound familiar? This sin was the same sin they had 2,000 years ago when they treated the outsiders of Judaism as dogs. And today, most churches claim you must be of their denomination to be saved, regardless of how apostate that denomination is. Today, we see many that claim to be of Israel, but unlike Jacob, they embrace sin like Esau, you know, like he did, yet they expect the Lord to look the other way, just as the prophet Isaiah predicted in Isaiah 4:1. They're going to walk as they please, but they're going to demand to be considered and called Christians to take away their shame. But look at verse 4. Malachi chapter 1, verse 4 says, "Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever." Here we see an inkling of the long prophesied end result of Israel, which we can see echoed in today's apostate churches. What I mean is, the people of Israel were looked upon as so sinful, even the neighboring nations knew about it. Hence the reason God had indignation against them. And here, through his prophet Malachi, he says this indignation will last forever. That is in fact speaking of replacement theology, wherein the Jews were eventually replaced by the Christians, who are now seen as the true Israel in the eyes of God. But being in the age of lying, if you will, most people think the Israelis, the Jewish people, are still chosen. Because not only do we see fake news on everything from coronavirus to whatever, we see fake sermons ever since the Vatican got a hold of the Bibles and the pulpits. You know, when it comes to modern-day Christendom, Rome split the churches into 44,000 denominations just by being Rome. People just couldn't stand being around that stuff, and so they would, you know, schism after schism after schism, right? This not only shows how wicked the papal power is, it shows that even though many honest people stepped out whenever they saw paganism being embraced, still, all 44,000 denominations remained in open apostasy. And so again, the Lord has them all in indignation as well right now, especially now after the end times began and the utterance was already given in the ninth hour. The lackluster message of most and weak prayer life the last 2,000 years confirms this as a prophesied fact. Those of us in the Seventh-day Remnant movement can see how all the churches we came from are just like Esau was in his day. That's why we left. And because they are of the same claimed faith, like the Jews of old that demanded special consideration for Esau just because of his lineage, the massive ecumenical abomination of Rome, that is the one world church today, does the exact same thing. Every denomination, including the SDA Church, now tithes and gives offering onto that, and are members of it. I got videos proving that for the SDAs, because it doesn't really matter in regards to the Sunday keeping churches, because that's just, we're there to try to help people that, you know, were prophesied to be where they're at, as well as the Protestants. We're not giving up on them. We're not giving up on Jews, Muslims, or Catholics, or anything like that. But the Lord has people focused, just like he did, you know, after he ascended, and he told the apostles to preach only to the Jews for those last three and a half years. And so we're doing what we're doing, but at the same time, when we go forth, everybody hears it because of the way the Lord structured that in the last days. But the Lord has indignation forever now on these churches. You know, probation's ending on all of them, including the SDA Church. Not on the people yet, but on the churches, yeah. All those in the early church were replaced by those in the third hour church. All those in the third hour church were replaced by those in the sixth hour church. All those in the sixth hour were replaced by the ninth hour church. And all that is left are those that left the ninth hour church, as well as any of the corrupted sixth hour ones, because there are still a lot of those, like the Lutherans and stuff, because that was Martin Luther was the sixth hour, you know, the Great Reformation. And so all those that are left in the ninth hour church to be in the one, you know, the final 11th hour church to finish the task at hand. That's what we're called to do. And brothers and sisters, we're going to do exactly as prophesied. We're going to do it, no matter how much they hate us for doing it. But moving on, in verse 5 it says, "And your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel." To magnify the border of Israel is to make a spiritual point as to who is obedient and who is not obedient. Esau was sinful, and the true Israel at that time was obedient. And like the few that came out of the fallen churches over the last 2,000 years to bring us to the 11th hour church of today, we too are obedient, and this is why the Lord will be glorified among his people, and because we refuse to join their churches with the state, you know, our churches with the state. We refuse to declare Allah the Christian God, for even though we live in the age of lying, the obedient people of God do not embrace the lie of Rome, claiming Islam is of the same God. But all the other churches do, including the Ninth Hour Church. The conscience of the apostate people has been seared with a hot iron, just as 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 prophesied they would. I mean, seriously, if you're an obedient child of God, you can see clearly that Islam hates Christians. I mean, that's, you know, basic reality. I mean, to the point that they're killing a Christian every 2 minutes right now. That's not my facts and figures. That's what I found 3 or 4 years ago, and I've been posting it online, you know, ever since. It could be more now. But the Pope and all the so-called Protestant churches, they all say Allah is God. Even those that, you know, they know that Muslims are killing Christians. They know that Muslims worship Allah. And they all know, and we all know, that they're calling Allah God in the Christian churches. Even those that claim to keep God's law on the Sabbath day from, like, say, the Seventh-day Adventist Church or the Sabbatarian Baptist Church, they're all doing it too. All of them claim Allah is God because their conscience is so charred or seared by Satan that simple truths regarding Islam are hidden from them, as it was after 321 AD when the Christians bowed to the Roman power to keep Sunday holy. I mean, how do you miss the fact that those that worship Allah are told by Allah to kill Christians, kill the infidels, that's what they call us. But yet, they call Allah the Christian God. That's the evidence of a seared conscience. Their disobedience brought forth a prophetic blindness they never ever will recover from. Unless, of course, none of them saw the danger of joining hands with Rome, just as all the churches today can't see, for the only way to understand prophecy is to obey the God that wrote it. And so they didn't see the dangers to joining hands with Rome after 321 AD because they started keeping Sunday holy. So prophetic utterance wasn't given unto them. They still have their Bibles, but they didn't understand what Revelation said, even though it was Revelation. And so by 538 AD, when the church and state thing started, they didn't see any danger until 1798 when Napoleon stepped up. And by then, 500 million people died because they stopped reading their Bible. They stopped studying. They stopped digging deep. They stopped obeying God. Well, we in the 11th hour are going to magnify the Lord via the lips of all his obedient remnant people, or Israel, as we are now called by our Lord. This next verse, though, in Malachi is so sad. One can literally see the tears in our Lord's eyes when he said this through his prophet in verse 6. He says, "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If that I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear?" You know, that reverent fear unto your master. So where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name? And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? I mean, look around and see that these words are echoed unto the apostate churches of today. All of them despise the name of the Lord and how they embrace sin and lies as the norm for the Christian church. And they even join with the second beast of Revelation, the one that's going to first put forth and enforce the mark of the beast. in a 501c3 or a 501c4 contract. They're all doing it now. All the SDA churches, all of them 100%, have the 501c3, and almost 100% of them that have left and started their own little ministries and churches have either the 501c3 or the 501c4. All of them. And then they threaten me, saying I'm in big trouble if I don't get one. Literally. In writing, I got an email once from one of these preachers out there. Hopefully the people sitting in the pews that truly love the Lord are finally going to come to see the tears in the Lord's eyes when he looks down on them, proclaiming them wicked and lost. For you cannot hide a sinful heart from a God that reads that heart, nor will he accept their false worship, as he's not a respecter of persons. And this includes those that claim to be Christians to hide their shame. If they refuse to come out of her, my people, as he is pleading for them to do as we speak, then they're going to die. There's no gray areas here. A decision must be made now. And again, I didn't time this sermon series. The Lord did. He gave this to me, you know, well over a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, because we had the Q&A coming, and then the testimony service, and then or something else. There were a couple other things that were happening, so I never got to actually start the first sermon until today on this series. And this is the week that we see what they're doing with this so-called coronavirus pandemic. They're actually calling it an epidemic. And the numbers are nowhere near to call it an epidemic or a pandemic. They're a fraction of what the actual definition of those things mean, especially when it comes to epidemic. I mean, they could fabricate it to make it look like a pandemic, which means country to country to country to country. Epidemic is in one area. You've got to have a certain number. And then they fabricated stuff yesterday by saying, because we have 11 million people in Ohio, the odds are 1% are going to get sick. So right now we got 100,000 people with the virus. They literally said that on camera. But I digress. A decision must be made, especially now that we see them using all this, this corona stuff as a way to lock down cities and even nations. Have you seen my most recent blog entry, by the way? If not, the link is in my sermon notes. There is an overwhelming proof that, as one report said, a legitimate study found that the coronavirus fatality rate is jaw-droppingly low for most people. Yet, you would never know that by watching the mainstream media or listening to the radio. All of what you see is a political theater helping the powers that be figure out the best way to corral 8 billion people when it comes to to enforce the mark. But because they don't study Bibles, they don't see it or even believe anything I just said. So getting back, we see that every age of the church has had such warnings as this. I just mentioned two. That, of course, being from Malachi and John, who penned Revelation. But yet another prophet says in Ezekiel 33:11, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" And then it says in Romans 12:1, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Do you smoke? You need to stop. And don't claim that it's not doing you any harm. It doesn't matter if it's doing you any harm at all. It's defiling your body, whether it's doing you harm or not, because it's going to be doing you harm. But if you have placed a wall of denial in front of you to think that smoking is no big deal, well, it still defiles you, as does unclean foods. No, we're not out there keeping feast days and all these, you know, the Mosaic laws, no. But you show me in reality and in science, or especially in Scripture, how the human body has changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament. What I mean is, the unclean foods in the past that caused people to get cancer and all these other weird diseases, that even Pharaoh, when they dig up their bodies and desecrate their tombs and make it look like it's no big deal because they've been dead thousands of years, so all of a sudden it's not desecration? Yeah, it's the age of lying, obviously. But so they dig them up and they find out that they are dying. The pharaohs and all these people back then were dying of the exact same diseases of the people of, like, say, America, with their pork eating and crayfish and, you know, clams and oysters and lobsters and all this stuff. That's, they're just giant flies is all they are. I mean, you wouldn't eat a fly, right? Well, then why do you eat a pig? It has the same job. That's the same reason it was created, to eat waste. And so you're going to get sick. What Paul says here in Romans 12 is not just filler to make the book of Romans a tad larger. What he is declaring is the proper walk of the obedient child of God. This walk with Christ isn't supposed to be all about look at me and how holy I am. No, that's fake Christianity. That's churchianity. That's Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1, Christianity, in fact. And it's nothing more than offering up lip service unto God, and that is not how Christianity works. Jesus said in Matthew 15:8 that this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And no, you don't have to be an obedient Christian to realize that's, you know, what's right and what's wrong to do. Common sense is just that, common sense. I mean, in other words, who among those claiming to be Christians don't know murder is wrong to do? I mean, seriously, right? I mean, everybody knows it's wrong. Even a killer. Which means they also know homosexuality is sin. Drinking alcohol is sin. Breaking the Sabbath is sin. Yoking unequally with non-believers is sin. And so on and so forth. Even a babe in Christ knows certain things are sinful that the world at large doesn't see as sinfulness. And so what Paul says here in Romans isn't just a pile of words to fill a scroll. It is the living fruit of the obedient child of God to know that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Sound familiar? It should. Remember what it says in Ecclesiastes 12:13? It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, just like you said, fear the master. You're not scared of God, it's just, you know, reverent fear. He's your God. So fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. No getting around truth that blunt. But most don't even know that verse exists due to the wolves they call pastors. Our habits of eating, drinking, and even dressing need to be that which glorifies the borders of Israel, as Malachi put it. We have to be that peculiar people. You want to be part of the Gideon band? Make the decision now. The obedient Christian walk is not just considered a chore. It's to be considered the normal way of life for God's people. Moving on to verse 7. It says, ye offered polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. Polluted bread is how they rebel against his word and claim it as truth at the same time. You know, Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 again describes this people well. Not only does this passage expose the words and deeds of the men of God back then as being apostate, even as they offered sacrifice before the people, it depicts an altered version of his word, for in prophecy, the word is in fact, as Jesus said in John 6:48, he said, I am the bread of life. And as Christians, do we not know that John 1:14 declares the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth? And do we not also know that Jeremiah 15:16 clearly said, thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart? For I am called by thy name, O Lord, God of hosts. That all being said, what do you see today in all the government-approved 501c3 apostate churches? Or where probation is closed? All of them embrace and push the Vatican's defiled bread, made it contemptible, a defiled bread upon the table of the Lord, just as the Jews did of old. The NIV, the NASB, the New King James, and a host of other bogus Bibles are a bold and obvious fulfillment of this long prophesied fruit of the wolves of sheep's clothing right there in the book of Malachi. In fact, it has gotten so bad in the Seventh-day Adventist Church that not only do they move their flock to embrace the NIV, the white estate that promotes the Jesuit versions of the spirit of prophecy, we find that with every new version of their EGW DVD, we find more and more usage of the NIV Bible that has literally thousands of verses missing or rewritten. The apostate leaders hate the Spirit of Prophecy books as much as they do the 66 books of the Bible, because if they allow their flock to read them, the pews are going to empty and the leaders would lose their power over the people, especially when that loud cry goes for it. And that's why Satan's going to finally stand up and claim to be Jesus and demand Sunday laws to shut us up. And this is why the Jews did as Malachi prophesied 1,000 years ago. This is why the Vatican chained the Bibles to the pulpits and then rewrote them in Latin in the Dark Ages. And this is why they put forth the defiled bread versions of the so-called Bibles on the pulpits of today. The prophet Malachi goes on to say in verse 8, that if you, he says, and if you, and this is the Lord, of course, speaking through him, talking to Israel again, and today talking to the apostate churches of today. If ye offer the blind sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? You know, when it comes to the offering, like the little sheep, no spots, no wrinkles. Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. The people would offer lame animals for sacrifice and keep the best ones for selling because they loved money more than the Lord that gave them their money in the first place. It is always evil whenever they do the opposite of what the Lord commands them to do. He said no spot or wrinkle when it came to the sacrifice, and they put forth sacrifices that were both physically as well as spiritually lame. They too ignored the warning. Physically obviously means the animals were lame. It spiritually means they were only offering lip service, which also is lame by definition. And what better way to offer up a spiritually lame message than to preach from a Vatican-approved, rewritten Bible, embrace Vatican holy days, or holidays as they call them now, you know, like Christmas, Lent, Easter, and even Halloween, as all the 501c3 churches do now, including the SDAs. Look at the churches today, and their sacrifice is obviously lame and blind, to say the least. Malachi saw this perfectly in his day when he was talking to Israel, and now we can see it perfectly today as he's talking to us. Well, all the world, all the Christians, all the people that claim to be Christians. We all need to clean up our act, not just the people outside the SDR movement. Us too, you know, we got a lot of skeletons in our closets, I'm sure. So look at all these churches of today. They're obviously lame and blind. They're all disobedient to the point none of them have the utterance or even the eyes to see the dangers of joining their Christian churches with the second beast of Revelation in their 501c3 contracts, just like they didn't see the dangers in 538 AD because of what they had already done back in 321 AD. The leaders in these apostate churches cannot see that the beast in Washington, D.C., the second beast, who will soon mark and kill many of them anymore, they can't see them any more than the Christians in the 4th century could. You know, they couldn't see bowing to Rome's Sunday Sabbath would lead to the Inquisitions. The sermons and offerings on the apostate altars are rejected of God today. That's what he's saying here in Malachi. We have his word on that. And this is a God that never changes. Yet those that claim to be his people, oh, they change left and right. None of these fallen leaders lay up treasures in heaven at all. Instead, they seek to empower themselves and their brethren for fleshly gain, which, as we all know, leads to death and destruction, for the flesh can account for nothing. The flesh must be conquered, not mollycoddled. I mean, just as the dead in Christ are going to be changed when they arise from their graves, so will the obedient number be changed in the twinkling of an eye from mortal to immortal, because they have overcome the flesh. In both cases, the corrupted flesh is left behind before ascending on high. And so, if you cannot take it with you, why clamor after it? It's as if it's all the world to you. I mean, Jesus plainly said in Matthew chapter 16, verses 25 to 28, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Next Sabbath, we will pick it up in Malachi chapter 1, verse 9. And I pray all and even more will be here to hear the warnings of Malachi, or the warnings of our Lord through his prophet Malachi, better yet. And I pray you will alert as many as the Lord moves you to invite, so they too can hear that which the Lord is saying unto the churches in his word today. For it was written thousands of years ago, just so those of us alive today can see how even back then, the Lord was concerned for his people in these last days. Well, I really, really hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day.